can see some that were sick last week, making their way back. We still have a few that are still out, this bug that's going around. The COVID is, and it takes a while to get over it. Glad to see that some were able to get over it and have you back with us again. I'm going to take this back to the year 457 B.C. What was happening back then was God's people were taken captive by the Assyrian nation. The Assyrians were on the march. They came through this region of Samaria and captured this country, and they deported all the people that were there living in the land. God's people, they deported them out of that, and they brought in other people from the land. We see, I invite your attention to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 17 this morning. We're going to be studying from there, from this chapter here this morning. If we get there, we'll be making all kinds of references to these passages here. And so we see in 2 Kings chapter 17, go to verse 24. It says, then a king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthna, Ava, Hava, and from Sepharvaim to place in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. So that was a custom of the Assyrian army. They would come in, they would defeat some place, they would remove all the inhabitants of that land and bring in people from other places to inhabit this new land. And we see that the religion of those who were imported into this region, we see described here in verses 25 through 41. This new religion that they came, they took God's people out of the land, although they weren't really serving God in the first place. They thought they were, but God was not pleased with them, and they brought in these new people, and they had a new religion that they were going to bring into this region. Let's look at it in verses 25 through 41 and see this new religion that was brought in to this land of God's people. He says that it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and indeed, they are killing them, because they do not know the rituals of God of the land. Verse 27, then the king of Assyria commanded them, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. And then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of their own and put them in the shrines and the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth, Bina, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashimah, and the Abites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharites burned their children in fire to Adamelech, and Adamelech, the gods of Sepharim. They also feared the Lord, and from every case, class, they appointed for themselves priests of the high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. Verse 33. And they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day, they continued practicing their former rituals. They did not fear the Lord, nor did they follow the statutes or ordinances or law or commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom we named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances, the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. Verse 40. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their father has did, even so do they this day. There are several characteristics of their religion I'd like to notice this morning. with this passage fresh in our minds, we might ask ourselves as we look through this lesson this morning, how does our religion compare with that of the Samaritans? In some cases, we may see some comparisons that may be too close for comfort. So let's begin and let's look at the religion that they practice and compare it to ours today. In some cases, we see they had a religion of fear. They feared the Lord. In verse 32, he says, they feared the Lord from every class and appointed themselves priests of the high places and sacrificed to them in the shrines of the high places. It says they feared the Lord, yet we see in the very next verse, he says they served other gods. Is this a contradiction? In one verse it says they feared God, the next verse it says they didn't fear God. How can that be? They have it because they didn't have the proper fear of the Lord. The proper fear of the Lord involves a motivation to turn from evil and to serve other gods faithfully. Oh, they feared God, but they feared him in a physical sense. They knew what God could do to them and the power that he possessed, and they feared that God would use that power against them. And so in that way, they feared him. But in the real sense of the word fear that the Bible talks about, he says they didn't fear God because they didn't motivate, they didn't turn from their evil ways to serve God faithfully. And we see this instance in the book of Acts. We see what it means to truly fear God. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter was there talking with a man named Cornelius, who was a man that had feared God and loved God. We see here in Acts chapter 10, notice in verses 34 and 35, Peter comes to Cornelius to teach him the gospel. He says in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. We see that definition. They fear God, it means that you turn from your evil ways and you turn to acts of righteousness. That's what it means to properly fear God. And also there's another passage. We see an example of people doing this very thing in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, let's pick up in verse 18. Paul is in the city of Ephesus at this time. And he said, and he taught the people the gospel, and many believed, but some did. Notice the ones that believed. He said in many, in verse 18 of Acts 19, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which had curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And so we see here people that feared God, that respected God enough to turn from their evil ways. They burned their books of magical arts and sorceries and things like that. They said, we're done with those things. And now they turn from those things to serve the living God. That is what it means to fear God. And this is one thing that these people in the book of 2 Kings there, 17, in Samaria, this is what they did. This proper fear of the Lord, this reverence to God, motivates us to turn from our evil ways. The Samaritans, though, they had this wrong idea of fear. They never thought to respecting God if it weren't for the lions. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25 and 26, God sent lions among the people to punish them for their wicked ways. And it was only because of the lions that they decided to turn from their wicked ways and try to turn to this new way. If it hadn't been for the lions, they wouldn't have thought about God at all. When they thought of God, they thought of him only to tremble before him, before what he might do with his awesome power. There's a lot of people that fear God like this even today. They fear God and what he might do to them because of their evil things, the things that they do. They only think of God when they're sick, when they have problems in life. Then they praise to God. They pray to God and ask for his help and for his guidance during their various calamities. But what happens when those things pass? Their health is restored. the problems cease. How do they respect God in that? Many times they don't. When prosperity comes, they forget all about God. It's kind of like some sailors. You know the story when the sailors are out at sea and a violent storm comes upon them. And they're about to lose their lives. They make all kinds of promises to God. God, if you will just help us through this and get us through this, I'll quit drinking. I'll quit carousing with the women. I'll quit all my the immorality that I've been doing in my life. They make all kinds of promises to God in the calamities in which they face. But when they return back to the land, they made it through the storm. They forget all about those promises they made. They go back to their drinking. They go back to their carousing, their immoral lives. If we only turn to God when things go wrong, our religion is no different than that of the Samaritans. But with the proper kind of fear, this awesome reverence for God, we will draw close to God through obedience. And when we do this, we will find Him to be a gracious and loving God, that we will serve Him gladly. Not just out of fear of the judgment that He may present against us, but because of His loving kindness. And the psalmist will be like the psalmist wrote in Psalms 112 and verse 1. He says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commands." He sees here that those that fear God will be blessed by God. So let us truly fear God in the ways that will bring us closer to Him. And get rid of the evil in our lives and turn and serve the God of heaven. But not only did the Samaritans' religion be one of fear, but there was a religion of a form. And they had a form of religion. Oh, it looked good. They were doing some things with God. They were offering some sacrifices to God. It looked good, but there was no substance to it. They're just going through the actions, so to speak. Their heart was not really in it. Now, our religion needs substance. What we did this morning is what we call substance. We sang, we prayed, we partook of the Lord's Supper. We're listening to God's Word being preached. That's the form of religion. Now, what happens if that's all we're doing? There's no heartfelt emotions behind it. We're just going through the motions, so to speak. That's what these people had. They were just going through the motions. Their heart was not really in it. Their heart lied with those of the gods of the other lands. Jesus talked about this type of religion in Matthew chapter 7. Just going through the motions. Notice what He said. He talked to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. Notice in verses 7 and 8. He says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and hear unto me, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This is the type of religion that these brethren, that these people had in Samaria. They were just going through the motions. Their heart was not in it. Christians today sometimes are guilty of this very same religion. How often do we sing the song, "Give me the Bible," but yet we never read it? We never study it. We're never curious to see what God wants me to do and apply it to our lives. But we sing the song. We have that form of religion. But our hearts are new. How often do we sing that song? "Here am I, send me, Lord." We never go anywhere to do anything with the gospel. We won't even go next door to our neighbors and teach them the gospel of Christ. But I sing the song, "Send me, Lord." My heart is not in it. Sometimes Christians sing the wonderful story of love. God sent His Son to this earth and died for mankind. A wonderful story of love. God loved us that much. But they sing it with bored expressions on their face. They're not excited. To think of the love that God had to send his only son. But we sing the song. There's no heart behind it. God wants both form and substance in order to be faithful to him. May we be like the example David set in Psalm chapter 138 and verse 1. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. David said, I'm not offering lip service to you, God, I give you my whole heart. And the Bible talks about how it describes David as a man after God's own heart. He says, I will praise you, Lord, with my whole heart, not just with my lips. In Psalms 146, verses 1 and 2, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live. I will praise the Lord, I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Every moment of David's life, he says, I will praise God as long as I live. I'll continue to praise him. And also one more, in the 147th Psalm in verse 1, he says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant to pleasant and praise is beautiful. May we be like that when it comes to our worship to our God. May we praise him not just in words and songs, but in our hearts as well. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That form and also in heart is what Jesus is saying here. Is our religion one of simply going through the motions? Or does it have substance behind it as well? If not, our religion may not be any more pleasing to God than that of the Samaritans. Back in those times. May our worship to God be one of substance. Put our hearts into it and draw close to God. And thirdly, the Samaritans' religion was a religion of compromise. They had God, but they had other gods as well. They liked the latter better. They liked the gods of the land better than they liked God. I don't know how that could be. They were offering their children in fires, burnt offerings to these gods that they worshiped. God never required of them. God would never expect that of his creation. He loved his creation. He loved his children. And yet these people, they offered their children in sacrifice to these false gods. They gave God lip service, but they gave these gods of the land their true service. And God was not pleased. You know, that happens today. Christians today, when they try to serve God and serve the world, but you get as others as well. Jesus said this is impossible. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. He said, you cannot serve God and man or God and the world. For God and your riches. He said it's impossible. You know, when people try to serve both, the world always wins. God never wins in a situation like that. The world wins. It turns people away from God. We see evidence of this. It shows up in their jobs. It shows up they love their jobs more than God. Or they'll work their jobs instead of coming to worship and serve him. They'll work their jobs instead of studying God's word. It shows in their recreation. They'd rather be out recreating on Sundays than coming and worshiping and serving God. It shows in their families. They choose their family over worshiping God and serving him. It shows up in their friends. It shows up in how they seek to rationalize their conduct. They try to rationalize. They make excuses. But I have to work in order to provide for my family. And so they work on Sundays instead of worship. It shows up in the recreation. But I need to relax. I've had a stressful week. I need some time to just sit back and relax. So they go off recreating instead of coming to worship and serve God. They say, I need to spend some time with my families. I've been away from them all week working in my job. I need to spend some time with them. So they say that they'll use the time on Sunday morning to spend with their families. They rationalize these things, and you can tell by their rationalization that they're trying to serve God in the world. And God says it will never work. They're compromising their service to God. And God will not and cannot tolerate compromise. Do you remember when God sent Moses to the children, to Pharaoh? He says, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. They've been in bondage for 400 years, and God says, I'm going to take them out right now. You go to Pharaoh, you tell him to let my people go. Remember, Pharaoh wouldn't. Old times he said he would, but then other times he wouldn't. Notice he tried to get Moses to compromise. God, the command of God was for Moses to take the children of Israel, their children, their flocks, their herds, everything that they own, and leave Egypt. You're not coming back. Meet me at the mount. It's a 3-day journey away. Meet me at the mount there, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. That was a command that God gave to Moses. Now listen to what Pharaoh decides to do. He's going to try to get Moses to compromise a little bit. Notice in Exodus chapter 8. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25, he says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commanded us. Moses said, we're not doing it in the land. We've got to travel 3 days' journey away from here. God has taken us away from here. But he says, no, just do it in the land. I'll let you sacrifice to your God. Just do it right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Just do it right here. Moses wouldn't bite. Now also, notice verse 28. So Pharaoh said, well, we'll let you go then. You may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you shall only go not very far away. Intercede for me. Moses said, no way. God told us to go a 3-day journey. You wouldn't compromise. Notice in chapter 10, Pharaoh tries again. Notice verses 9 and 10. He says, and Moses said, we will go with our young ones and our old, and our sons and our daughters. We will go with our flocks and our herds, and we will go, for we must all hold a feast to the Lord our God. Notice verse 10. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you go, your little ones go, but beware, for evil is ahead of you. Now notice in verse 11, he says, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord your God, for that is what you desired. And they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. So Pharaoh's trying to get them. All right, you can go and worship to your God. Leave your children and everything else behind. You men, you can go. I'll let you go. Just go, you men. Moses wouldn't go. Notice verse 24 and 26. Chapter 10, Exodus. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go serve the Lord your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones go also with you. And Moses said, you must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. All right, Moses, you can go. Take your little ones, take all the men and everything. Go your journey, 3-day journey in the wilderness. Go worship your God, but keep your flocks and your herds. Trying to get Moses to compromise. And Moses refused. That's the way it is with people. They try to get us to compromise our faith. You have to go to church every Sunday. You have to really study that Bible. Why do you go to Bible study? You can just go home and have dinner. You don't have to study God's Word. You went to church. Isn't that enough? Trying to get us to compromise. James calls it spiritual adultery. In James chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice how James puts this. He says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Trying to please the world, please God. Offer a sacrifice to God and a compromise. God will never tolerate. We need to heed Jesus' admonition. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Let God and his righteousness be first in our minds, first in our lives. We cannot compromise our faith with the world. We need to stand firm. I know it's easy to see the error of the Samaritans. Oh, they were wrong. They were wicked people. They had that religion of fear and form and compromise. But unless we're careful, our religion can easily become like theirs. We need to listen to the prophet Elijah as he challenged us to give up this religion of compromise. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, do you remember the instant illustration? Elijah gathered all the prophets of Baal and all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. He makes a proclamation to them. You need to choose which gods you're going to serve. Are you going to keep going back to Baal or are you going to serve God? He offered them a condition. Or Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, as the people were about to, when the land was all conquered, they were about to go their separate ways. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, said, "Choose you this day. What gods will you serve?" You need to make a decision now. What gods will you serve? Will you serve the gods of the lands of the people that we just destroyed? You go back to their gods, serving their gods, or will you serve the God of heaven that gave you this good land, that protected you all of these years? He said, "You make a choice, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Don't have a religion of compromise. It'll never work. All it's going to do is drive you further away from God. So we let the Apostle Paul challenge us to give up a religion of form or just going through the motions. As he spoke in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, notice verse 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, 28, it says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." I'm sorry. Chapter 2. Didn't think that didn't sound right. He said, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that with that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that one of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Paul says it doesn't matter what you are on the outside, it's what's inside that counts. You can look good, you can look religious all you want. You can wear your crosses and all your fancy jewelry and the fancy collars and things. You can look religious, but what's in your heart, Paul says? That's what God wants to know. But you let Paul challenge us to give up that religion of form. And may it be from the heart. When we let John challenge us to give up a religion of fear. We don't just need to fear God in the time of judgment, but we need to fear God in the proper way, to have the proper fear that tells us to turn from our wicked ways and turn to serve the living God. Yes, we need to fear God. There is a judgment coming, but let that not be the only fear and respect that we have for God. Turn from our wicked ways and serve the God of heaven. Let me close with a passage in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James says, "If any man seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted of the world. May we not only put on the appearance of being religious, but may we truly live it before God and the world. How is your religion today? Are you truly a child of God serving Him? Some changes you need to make in your life? Will you make them today? Don't let your religion be like that of the Samaritans. They didn't last. They were conquered as well. But they were destroyed. And that's what will happen with our religion is no better than theirs. There is a judgment day coming. And we will all give account of ourselves to God, whether we did good or whether we did evil. Were we a child of God or were we not? I offer the Lord's invitation to you this morning. Become a child of God today if you want. If you've never been baptized in the waters of baptism and have your sins forgiven, and rise from that waters of baptism a new creature. You bury that man of sin, you rise to be a new creature in Christ, one that glorifies and gives honor to God. Will you do that if you haven't done that yet? We're going to sing this song for your encouragement this morning. Won't you come? Just stand and sing.